I'm not sure, belief. But we have our guest, Rabbi James Kennard, who's principal of Mount Scopus College, and he's going to speak about this. Welcome to the Daily News, Rabbi Kennard.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Welcome.
Even highly experienced reporters seem to be completely out of their depth when interviewing religious Jews. Rabbi Kennard, I wonder whether it's possible to fully understand the conflict in the Middle East without some understanding about how the Jewish religion views the land of Israel, the connection between the land and the people.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It is impossible to understand the modern-day conflict without understanding the deep, deep roots that the Jewish people have in the land. Let us go back to 1903 at the Fifth Zionist Congress. The Zionist movement was nearly torn apart by Theodore Herzl's suggestion that the movement should accept an offer from the British government to establish a Jewish homeland in Uganda. And although that proposal was accepted by a small majority, there was a huge argument about it, and indeed that proposal was thoroughly rejected 2 years later at the Seventh Zionist Congress. Now, why is that? Why was a movement which was primarily not composed of religious people, was not led by rabbis, but was led by secular nationalists, why was it so important for them that the Jewish homeland was established in Israel, in Palestine, as it was then called, of all places? And the answer is because Zionism wasn't just about establishing a homeland for the Jewish people. It was about the Jews going home. And when you talk about the Jews going home, there's only one place in the world to which that could refer. The place where they had lived for 1,000 years, where they'd established the Jewish kingdom and the Jewish commonwealth, the place where Jewish culture and learning had flourished, and the place to which, during 2,000 years of exile, we turned 3 times a day and prayed, the place to which we said twice a year, next year in Jerusalem, and we said that year after year after year, generation after generation after generation. And going back to an earlier time, if we go back to the religion itself, it is impossible to understand the sacred text of the Jewish people, namely the Bible, without seeing it as a dialogue and a drama, and if you like, a love affair between a people and a land. The Pentateuch, the 5 books of Moses, is the story of how one nation was promised by God that they would come to have a home in one particular place in the world, and the rest of the book is about them returning to that land.
We might take a break now and return after the break with a bit more about that from Rabbi Kennard.
You're listening to Lion FM 96.1, The Daily News. We're talking with Rabbi James Kennard, principal of Mount Scopus College.
We wanted to delve a bit deeper into the discussion that we've been having before about the connection between the Jewish people and the land of Israel and what that's based upon. We were discussing the religious connection, and we wanted to discuss whether a feeling, an affinity between the Jewish people and Israel can be on a secular level without the religious underpinning of what we've discussed before, what's shown in the Pentateuch, in the 5 books of Moses, the Torah, the fact that it's a very important land to the Jewish people and that inherently it was given to us by God.
Well, I would see it as a two-stage process. I think the connection between the Jewish people and the land of Israel stems from Jewish history. And Jewish history is a long and varied field. And during that time, not only did we live there for 1,000 years, but as I said, in the subsequent 2,000 years, we always felt that tremendous connection to the land of Israel. And indeed, there was never a period since the Jews arrived in Israel in the time of Joshua until today when there have not been Jews living in some places in the land of Israel. So I think that historical connection generates the emotional and political connection that we feel today. But where did that historical connection come from? Well, then you have to go back to the previous stage, which is the religious connection. The Jews lived there for that 1,000 years. The Jews made their kingdom, their commonwealth there, only because that was the land which God had promised to the Jewish people, and that connection between the land and the people as described in the Bible. So at the end of the day, if you did take away the religious connection, then our modern-day political connection would have no underpinning.
So it's almost working back from the facts on the ground of continuous Jewish settlement and occupation of Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, for over 2,000 years, and then stepping back to the idea of why were we there. There was small settlements prior to the 1800s to the resettlement of the land of Israel, so ostensibly without that religious connection, the Kimberley region, Uganda, as you mentioned earlier, could have been fine places to settle at that time.
Yes, I would agree. And I would go further and say it's that emotional attachment generated by the religious, the rituals and the observance, the next year in Jerusalem, the praying towards Jerusalem, the breaking a glass at a wedding because our joy is not complete while Jerusalem is not rebuilt. It's all these aspects of Jewish life which created that emotional attachment, which led the Zionist movement to the state where it was Israel or nowhere, where the Jewish homeland had to be back in the Jewish home of Israel.
From that analysis, getting back to what Ralph was asking at the beginning of the program, it would seem like one would have to give over to an independent reporter, to anybody understanding the conflict, this underlying connection between the Jewish people and the land, not just the fact that we are there now, but why we're there. Would that be a correct way of viewing the situation?
Well, I would put it slightly differently. One of the many problems in understanding the conflict is, when do you start? A lot of modern-day journalists start in 1967, some start in 1948, some start in 1917. The only place to start from which an analysis of the narrative makes sense is 3,000 years ago.
So it's the timeline that you're really looking at.
That's right. And that goes back to the time when the Jewish people made that land their home. And you're right, if you start in 1967, or even if you start in 1948, you ask yourself, what are these Jews coming from Europe, coming from North Africa, doing in that particular part of the world? Mm. And you're quite right, it makes no sense. Indeed, it leads to allegations of colonialism and imperialism and so on. It only makes sense for the Jews to feel that that is the place where we need to be, and that is the place where our state should exist and has a right to exist if we consider the totality of Jewish history.
Ralph?
I want to ask you one last question. Is it reasonable to expect the secular, non-Jewish journalist, Western journalist world to understand the connection between the Jews and Eretz Yisrael?
I might step in the rationalist mind, so to speak.
Well, it's reasonable, because a good journalist who does his homework and really wants to get the full background of the story in order to present it to his readership should be able to do that. In practice, however, it's a very, very tall order. And the reason for that is this, that since the so-called Enlightenment about 200 years ago, the Western world has been predicated on a separation of church and state and a cleavage between politics and religion. And in the Western world, religion has been relegated to the sidelines. We bring on our bishops, they wear fancy clothes, and they say a blessing from time to time, but woe betide any religious authority who wants to get involved in politics. And therefore, in the one part of the world where religion and politics continue to be totally intertwined, namely the Middle East, a typical Western approach is to say what is driving the Jews is politics, and what is driving the Muslims is politics, without understanding that actually the roots of both sides are inherently religious. And that is why Western journalists and Western policymakers say, well, surely they can resolve their problems through some sort of political dialogue, and they fail to realize that since these problems are so rooted in very earnestly held beliefs, very sincerely held beliefs, and very long-term beliefs, that they can't be solved by some simple political problem. I think the West looks at Islamic terrorism and sees politics where they should be seeing religion. And the West similarly looks at the Jewish connection to the land, and they see newcomers who come with some political agenda without understanding there's this deep emotional, spiritual, and religious bond between the Jewish people and the land of Israel.
It's almost like describing a flavor to somebody. Unless you've tasted it, how can you really appreciate it?
That's a good way of putting it.
So thank you very much, Rabbi Kennard, for coming on our show, and I'm sure the listener will be extremely interested in your words.
Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.